I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be if you are a UK-based seller selling on Amazon USA or UK. Hope you're well and really looking forward to bringing you another fantastic podcast, because I can say that because it's not me speaking about it. It's mostly interview with Mr. Danning McMillan. This is the second of two halves of the interview, so I'll get to that in 1 second. First, just a quick hello to anyone new. If you're new to the podcast, you'll probably want to get yourself over to the blog to check the show notes. You'll absolutely definitely want to do that if you are listening to this episode or the previous one, because pay-per-click is a very complex area. So get yourself over to the blog, www.amazingfba.com. You'll find all the previous podcasts are stored there, along with detailed show notes, sometimes very, very detailed, certainly like this episode. As ever, episode 31, which is the first part of the interview, is at www.amazingfba.com/31. And this episode, episode 32, is at www.amazingfba.com/32. So you get the picture. I really, really advise you to check the blog notes for anything that's detailed. And this is a prime example of that. Before I go any further, let me just say a couple of things. First of all, if you're not part of the Facebook group, you are missing out. It's growing quite rapidly. There are 220 members last time I checked, and it's growing pretty much on a daily basis. I'm not after growing the biggest Facebook group in the world at all. There are plenty of other places that you can go to get groups with 1,000, 2,000, 12,000 people on. That's not my aim. What I want is a big enough community to have some momentum and to have people able to help each other, but small enough so that I can get personally involved and help people pretty much individually, at least, you know, most days of the week. And that is the sweet spot we're at now. So it's the perfect time to join us. www.amazingfba.com/FB, F as in face, B as in book. As I said, I'm going to start offering mentoring to a very select group of people, probably be 4 or 5 people maximum, so I can work with you really intensively and really help you to gain exactly what you need from your business. I'm not going to pitch away about it here because this is a value-based podcast, never going to sell anything on here. So if you're interested about that, then I'll tell you a tiny bit more about it in the end of the podcast, and then come to the Facebook group, make sure you're a member of that, and then just send me a quick private message and done and dusted. So back to today's topic, pay-per-click or Amazon ads. It's absolutely vital that you get your handle on this. It's the big driver of traffic, and there is really the big driver of sales in the entire business. It's a complicated thing. Loads of people have asked for help, and Mr. Danning McMillan is the man to help us. Incredibly helpful guy, very expert, but breaks it down. So here he is. So Danny, we've dealt with the first couple of weeks. What's the next stage? Is it more auto campaigns, or are we going to delve into manual campaigns, or
what you can do then is I would run those autos for about a month, because you're looking for gold at the end of the day, and it doesn't come up very fast, and it takes a while for Amazon to really start to kick in and give you some decent data. So, and this is where the hardest part comes, is that a lot of marketing is about, it's all psychological, I would say, is that you see people losing their mind when they lose position one into position two, and you've got to manage your own psychology.
Okay.
And I think that's one of the biggest things for new people, because imagine you're doing well, you're selling quite well, and you're doing, say, 10, 20, 30 units a day, and you spend on PPC, and it's all working well, and you're scaling it up, and then suddenly a competitor comes in.
Yeah.
Bids higher than you.
You're right.
People lose their mind. They start going lunatic, and they start to whack their bids up. It's the first reaction.
Yeah, and I have to I confess guilty to that. Definitely, I've been there with putting the bids up and up and up, you know, because you want to get the sales. You want to get the sales ranking. You've got to manage your own psychology.
It's something that's very common, because it's about learning. It's a new thing, yeah? It's like you've got to understand how this system works. So, you know, worst thing you can do is just whack the price up, because you know, like when people drop the price, they create a race to the bottom. Well,
yeah.
What they're doing is they're setting a benchmark in terms of PPC costs. So overall, it's driving up costs overall. So what you should be looking at is how can you create difference between that and the other person's product. And also, believe it or not, number one position doesn't mean that's right all the time. Half the time it's position number two and number three. So I would do things like check work off basis of other keywords. So let's just say that you've got one keyword that generates a bunch of your traffic, what you'd do is an alternative routing is to grab a bunch of other keywords that doesn't give you some same amount, but they do as a whole, if that makes sense. So you might have one keyword that, let's just say, gives you 2,000 searches, but then you might have five other keywords that give you 2,000 searches. And you're utilizing those as a way to leverage your conversions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. So in other words, you're not depending on just one keyword, which may bring you a lot of traffic and a lot of conversions, but becomes expensive. But a group, and the theory behind that is that they're less competitive, so they're just cheaper cost per click, basically.
That's right. Because at the end of the day, whenever you, if you've got a budget and you say it's £1 per click on average, yeah, your average CPC, then what happens when you double it? You've just doubled your cost. You've just doubled your ACoS in a roundabout way. Yeah, and it's exact science there. But to give you an idea, as soon as you double that, you've just etched straight into your margin.
Yeah, or possibly eliminated your margin.
Yeah, and what people seem to think happens, and I've noticed, people go, oh, well, don't worry, I'll just whack the price up, cost up just briefly.
Yeah.
But it's never just briefly, because let's give you a quick product example.
Yeah.
You might have X product here, and this person's coming to the marketplace. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've just bid above you, and that's fine. So you go, okay, I'm going to bid a bit higher, and then they join in, and then you go a bit higher, and then at some point, someone's going to have to top out.
Yeah.
And then with both of you sitting up there at that high point, what happens when that new person comes into the marketplace with their product?
Yeah.
And they go, well, I want number one position now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to bid up there.
Yeah.
So what happens? Persons one and two start blowing through their budgets.
Yeah.
And then give up on that. Person three steps into the fold. Person four launches a product, repeats the same process.
Yeah.
The winner is Amazon. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very clearly put. That's when you put it that way, it sounds really obvious, but I never thought of it that way, which explains why the bids for the popular keywords go through the roof so quickly over a period of months. So that it is really profitable, becomes a total money pit.
Yes.
Very,
so that's
very interesting.
You've got to be very, very careful.
Yeah.
And so you can play that game if you've got, one, the technical know-how, and two, you can work out your long-term value of the customer.
Yeah.
And you're doing the long play with it. That's fine. You know, but quite often people don't have the skills to cover those areas. They do it off of emotion. And so it's almost an ego thing. I'm not having that. You know, I was number one and I want to be back at number one.
Yeah.
But that will be your downfall if you're not careful.
Yeah. I confess I've fallen into that trap, so you're totally right. I can't be the only person, I'm sure. So you were saying get a group of keywords as an alternative to, say, one keyword.
That's right. So should we go from our auto campaigns now into manuals? So what you can do then is, what I found and other PPC guys have found, is that Amazon's quite funny when you switch off and pause campaigns. It's almost like each keyword's got its own fingerprint, if I can use that. Look, I'm not an algorithm expert who works at Amazon. I'm just kind of giving you theories behind it, and most people would do the same.
Sure.
But if you can imagine, like, a lot of complaints that people have is that they will have an auto campaign that's converting, and then they'll move those certain keywords out into a manual campaign, and it all falls off cliff.
I've had that experience.
There's almost like you need to do a transformation from one group to another. So what we've found, I mean, I'm not just speaking for me, and you can speak to people online, what other people found as well, and there's no exact process for it, but if you imagine you're running your auto campaign, you would then take these keywords into manual campaign, and you would set up your different match types, because you want to work out which one works best or which match type. And then what you do is, on the auto campaign, you can lower the cost per click, so it's out the way, if you like. So you're avoiding any clash. So let's just say you had a blue widget keyword, for instance. You might set that up. You might take blue widget that's currently at, say, 40 pence per click, and put blue widget into a manual campaign and set it up as a exact phrase and broad match. And then you would do it. So let's just say you would have exact as a pound and then you'd have phrase matches 80 pence and then a broad match 70 pence. So bids are separate from each other to avoid problems with, you know, cannibalisation, if you like, of where they're clashing because they're running the same keywords across two groups.
All right. So you keep the AutoPan campaign going. You take the words that have been converting the keywords out of that, put them in a manual campaign, but you basically have a different level of bid. Is that right?
You're still going to get some conflict. It'll still take some time to switch over. But what you want to do is you want to lay that auto to rest by bringing the price down. So it's not really entering the auction. The bid's really low. But it's going to happen. It starts to translate over and make an impression onto the manual campaign.
Okay, right. Okay, but instead of doing it in one fell swoop because Amazon doesn't like that for whatever reason, then you gradually transition them over and then eventually you pause the auto campaign.
Yeah, you don't pause it ever. You just put it down so low, just put it down at two cents or 2 pence a bid, okay, or whatever it is, the lowest point, and just have that running in the background. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to get the algorithm to say, right, we're not going to be spending over here anymore. We're moving to the manual campaign rather than cutting off cold. Yeah. It's built all that sales history and information up in the auto campaign.
Okay.
You're now dumping down cold into a manual campaign. You've got to allow in between this, people can have technical problems. I know that Amazon's had an algorithm update, I think it was 2nd of February, which pretty much paralysed everyone for a few days and sent everything skew-if. So, you know, I'm explaining these tips, but these are, you need to venture out and work on those yourself. You know, by all means, just dump keywords in and shut a campaign off. But if you've got multiple campaigns running, run the test that I've suggested. Does that make sense? This really is about... Yeah. Testing, because I mean, there's a lot of gurus out there who would be like an echo chamber who will just repeat stuff because that's what they've heard. But the best way to find out is to do your own tests.
Yeah, that makes total sense to me. And when the further I go with my Amazon journey, the more I realize it's all about testing. They're testing in a way that gives a meaningful result rather than, like you said, tweaking stuff and then not knowing what the meaning of the result is, which I've certainly been guilty of. I try and, you know, tweak things for a meaning reason now. But okay, so this is more gold. And then, so what do we do next? So we've taken the working words over from the auto campaign to the manual campaign, but we've left the auto campaign running, but we've basically got higher bids on the manual campaign on those words that are working than we have in the auto campaign. Is that right? Is that where we're at so far?
Yeah, so basically we've got three sets of match types.
Yeah.
So we've got exact as the highest, and then the second highest is phrase, and then the lowest is broad.
Yeah.
Obviously, for obvious reason, because it's more, you know, you bid higher on exact because it's exactly, it's a direct hit. Phrase is, it's close, yeah, but there's permutations around the phrase match, and then broad is throwing the sausage down the alleyway. So obviously you'd lower bid there.
Throwing a sausage down an alleyway?
Well, it's just because broad match is so broad that it can throw up a lot of random stuff. And so you wouldn't necessarily have to bid that high on it. But ideally, you've got to look at is that, believe it or not, Amazon wants you to convert. Yeah. So they want to give you the best information possible. And they do try and take years of information and conversion data that pours into their algorithm, if you like. To help make better informed decisions. So it makes sense that you would bid exact and phrase are closer. Obviously, you're going to get less traffic per one because you're honing in closer,
yeah,
right? But ideally, after that, you've got your bids. And the reason you're doing that is because you're trying to find which one works best.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then whatever works best, and then you can obviously take those out of play, lower the bids on the others, and just focus on the one that works best. I mean, you're going to do this across multiple keywords. What we're trying to do is keep it simple by saying one keyword.
Yeah.
But you're going to do these in multiples. But I think what happens is people don't tend to have a strategy. Their strategy normally is, I'm going to run an auto campaign on, get a few keywords out of it. No, I've wasted money there. I'm going to make an auto a manual campaign up, stick loads of keywords in there and hope that people will click on them, and then just tweak.
That's more or less been my approach, I confess.
But that's a lot of people, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's what a lot of people have been doing. But if you want something simple, I'm trying to present something a little bit different, but it requires a lot of patience to do.
Yeah, I like it.
As we're going back to the whole psychology thing, you don't want to be blowing your cash, and you feel the FOMO, the fear of missing out, you know.
FOMO, I like it. I never heard of that abbreviation, but yeah, fear of missing out is a really big one, particularly for entrepreneurs. I think we don't want to miss the bandwagon somehow. It's definitely true. So what would the next stage be then, if you we're venturing gradually away from the simple auto campaigns to the manual campaigns? What would the next stage be after this for people who are more willing to get into the nuts and bolts of it?
Well, then obviously you're going to start to build out a broader set of keywords. So you might start using third party tools to find additional keywords to obviously build out the long tail, so there'll be less traffic on those keywords, less searches, but there's an option to convert. So what you're trying to do is you've got your core keywords that Amazon's kindly provided you, but you've had to sit there and filter through the mess and get rid of the ones that don't work. You've then taken converting ones and then you've bridged them over into a manual campaign. Now it's like, well, how do I expand the decks? How do I get a wider net cast? But importantly, how do I do it without killing my conversions? Because you don't want to get to that stage where you throw a load of keywords out there and you've got an average conversion rate. Let's just say it's 20% and you take it down to 5%.
Yeah.
It's going to have a knock-on effect to your keyword positions.
Right.
Because your overall conversion's gone down. Amazon is rewarding you for converting.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
So the higher your conversion rate, it feeds back into the loop, the better it's going to give love to you in terms of organic positioning on your keywords. Yes, there's other things that go into play, but ultimately Amazon's about relevance for customer, keeping the customer happy and converting.
Okay, so if you start plastering a bunch of irrelevant keywords up there, willy-nilly, you're going to hurt your conversion and that's going to hurt your ranking in search results, basically.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, what is the secret to doing that?
Well, there isn't really a secret. Is that the thing is, what you're going to do is in stages. You know, I've known people that may shove in 2,000 keywords and then go boom and off they go, and suddenly, you know, they've left it for a day, and obviously Amazon systems can be anywhere from 24, 48, 72 hours behind.
Yeah.
So you could be running these. Yes, you start to spend on bids, but you're not getting the real data that you need.
Okay.
Because you're behind the curve.
Yeah.
So let's just say you've done it with a load of keywords in supplements.
Yeah.
You know, you might be getting the impressions of more people in China than, you know, on your campaign.
Yeah.
So you could be hitting some serious big numbers and it can, you know, it's having a big effect because you're getting people going to your racing and they're bouncing off because it's not relevant. So I would say, again, you want to try and do this in stages. You've got to remember is that when you're doing a private label product, it's not like a puppy that's for Christmas. It's a long-term thing.
Yeah.
And so I know you want to get as much money in as possible and you've got this stock sitting there and you've got to think about cash flow, which is very important. But
yeah,
if you can find that little place in between where you can take a bit of time and have control over your emotions, if you like, because obviously you're putting your money up for this, you can then build these campaigns out over a period of time. It doesn't have to be rushed off the bat. If you do, but if you know what you're doing, you can go and use 1,000 keywords, because you kind of work out, well, I know that a single word like that is going to be a very broad keyword and probably produce a lot of traffic with no relevance, because you learn.
Yeah.
Because you've done it on other platforms. But if you're starting out, you might as well keep the same process. Is you just write yourself in a diary, like a plan, you know, week one, week two, just written down, very simple. Week one, create a campaign. End of week one, edit the, campaign download words, add them as negs, like we discussed earlier on in the show. You know, week two, review it again, the second auto campaign at the higher price, and then move further along. You then go, well, okay, I'll run these for a month now. This is good. I've been filtering the keywords. I've run through processes 1, 2, and 3. And now I'm starting to go over to a manual campaign. And so you'd optimize those. And then you go, right, I want to make my market larger now. Is there keywords out there beyond the ones that I've optimized for is there some stuff there that are going to be good for me? So then I'll go off to use third-party tools and then look at different third-party tools that you can use.
Yeah. Okay. And what tools would those be, is the obvious question.
Well, you've got the Google Ad Planner tool, haven't you? Like the keyword tool in Google AdWords. So you can use that. That's free. There's quite a good one called Uber Suggest. Now, I use these on AdWords campaigns. So basically what you would do with this, let's just say that you are looking for your long-tail keywords off your main keyword. So ubersuggest.io, you'd punch in, let's just say, widget, and you being specific that you want widget colors, it will give you all the variations where it's been extracting keywords from various APIs, including the Google tool.
Looking for long tail keywords, is that right? That's our objective now in this process.
Yeah. So you would use Uber Suggest for that. And that'll be a lot, as I said, a lot of long tail, because you might have a certain phrase and it will give you an additional word extra for it. And so you can use it two ways. You can use it as a for keywords to find the long tail keywords, and you can also use it to plug in as negative keywords. So let's just say that it's called widget. There is a search term that says broken widget. Well, you don't want broken widget because you don't want people searching for your widget because it's not broken. So the keyword's irrelevant. So broken can go in as a negative keyword. Make sense? Yep. So the idea is you can start to catalogue and build keywords ideas off your main keyword. You can do the same building out keywords using the Google tool, which if you've got a Gmail account, you just sign up for free and you can do use the Google keyword tool that way. Other keyword tools is one called Found. So it can create a concoction of keywords. So you can have four different panels. So what that means is it will make up words. So you might have a search term and then you can put a search term in panel A, B, and C. And in D, it will give you all the permutations of that word. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're making up a set of words by using a set of keywords to create detailed keywords. So you might have in, let's just say in panel A, you might have widget. In panel B, you might have black, blue, orange, pink, brown, you know. And so then what happens is if you've done it on two stages, you'd have a brown widget, blue widget, pink widget. Does that make sense? So you can start build out those.
Yeah.
So
it will build sort of combinations of words.
Yeah. So concatenation, I think it is.
Concatenation.
Yeah.
It's not something I've really used, but you know.
This is like you may not, you're trying to get lucky with keywords, if you like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is really kind of a lot of stuff at the wall and seeing what sticks. Basically, what you're doing there, is that a fair comment?
Yes.
Fair summary?
Yes. So we can add these in the show notes because I think it's hard to visualize how these tools work without seeing them yourself. So obviously, guys, listen to the show and then we'll give you links to these items.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll make sure that there'll have to be some pretty serious show notes to go with this show. But that's good because I think, you know, as I said, this is not something I've thought, oh, this would be a nice idea. This is like everybody's gagging for information about this. I'm just looking at my survey. It's like 30 people said, yeah, Amazon ads, please, you know, help. So a couple of quick questions. First of all, what about, there's a couple of key tools that people have mentioned. Some people seem to swear by it, so I don't like it. One is merchant words. What's your opinion on that? Is that something you've used?
Like all the tools, these use APIs, these are guidance, they're not actual data. You know, there's no data scientist sitting there handing out the back door of Amazon and giving it to these companies.
Okay, yeah.
And so use with caution, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to extrapolate information. And I'm not saying it's bad or good. I have a flick through merchant words when I'm doing sourcing a product. I won't go into that now, but I have a quick look because you can have five free searches on merchant words and I just get an idea and I jump on Google Trends and I'll go back to my other tools. And so with that, I use it as guidance. It's the same as AMS Tracker and other sets of tools, that research tools like Jungle Scout and Unicorn Smasher. These are all, they're not an exact science, but they give you guidance. So, yeah, The best date you're going to get is what Amazon gives you direct. It's like anything, you know. What we do is we're hedging our bets, aren't we? We're picking something and we're trying to take intelligent guesses.
Okay, that's fair enough. So it gives you a guidance, but not an exact science. That's a reasonable way to look at it. I mean, I suppose the exact science comes from the data that you get over time with your product, really. So the other question I was going to ask, if you have time, Danny, is just about if you are in a position, which certainly would reflect me, but it would reflect quite a lot of people in the group now that have been in business for a number of months on Amazon. If you already have existing campaigns, and maybe you've done like me, you know, maybe created a bit too much, or I don't know, or there's certainly quite a lot of different campaigns doing different things, what would your quick tips be for editing and tweaking and sort of, if you like, gardening, weeding your existing Amazon ads?
I'm going to give you my tool that I've got made, but I mentioned earlier on the show. Basically what this does, it's a tool. So you would download your search term report.
Okay.
Cut and paste the search term report into this tool.
Okay.
And on one of the pages, it's got a set of parameters. So it's a certain amount of conversions, impressions, clicks, click-through rates, things like that, yeah?
Okay.
And so it gives you a scoring. So you can – it's got a default setting, which I punched in the numbers that I use, but then you can edit them yourself depending on how big your campaign is.
Okay.
So what this will do, it will give your keyword a scoring. So the good ones, it will give you a scoring on what to do in terms of, like, upping your bids. So it might say this keyword 70%, 60%, 30%, because it's giving a score based on these parameters, right?
Right.
And the non-performing ones, it highlights in red, and so it tells you to add them as negative. So if you don't know what you're doing that much,
yeah,
use that spreadsheet.
Yeah.
I've got them. They're on my website. There's two spreadsheets on the website that would help people. It's DannyMcMillan.com.
All right.
And McMillan is spelled McMillan.
Yeah.
And on there, there's one for the product sourcing from every penny that you would spend that you can download. There's a video of that. And also for the PPC. So my suggestion, guys, would be to download that to use because it's a way of taking the guesswork out. If you can see stuff that's marked in red and it's performing badly and you spend a lot of money, you know that can then be a negative keyword. If you've got ones that are performing well, you can decide whether you want to up the bids on those if you're in a manual campaign.
Excellent. Thank you. Well, brilliant. Well, so that kind of takes the pain out of trying to do it yourself. So you've created a tool which will essentially kind of do it for us, basically, or as close as you can get. Obviously, we're all responsible for our own businesses.
Yeah. I mean, you still need to spend a little bit of time and get your head around it. It's not like a piece of software because it's using macros and stuff on a spreadsheet, so it can fall over from time to time. So there's a couple of quirks, but I did shoot a video that you can just take the link from inside there and watch the 5-minute video on how to copy and paste. And this works for European as well.
Great. So not just the UK, but also Germany.
Yeah. No, you just have to do a search and replace instead of having a point to separate pounds. You've got like a comma, haven't you, for separating?
Oh, that's true. Yeah, they deal with thousands and also decimal points in a slightly different way. That's true. Great. Okay. Well, that answers that one question. Danny, obviously you're very expert on this whole area. Thank you so much. I've got pages and pages of notes here, which is pretty unusual when I'm doing an interview because I try and sort of, you know, make sure that I'm just sitting there reflecting. But I'm actually so much detail. Thank you very much. Where can people find? We've already found your website, which is DannyMcMillan.com, which obviously I'll put all this stuff in the show notes. You mentioned that you have an API which you use with clients or something. Do you do consulting on this stuff? Do you run courses? What can people learn from you? Where else can people learn from you?
I don't run any courses, and I do very, very little consulting. I like to help people, and the way I can do that is through the public speaking stuff that I do. I am involved with an Amazon group. It's one of the biggest in the UK. If you go to Amazon, go to meetup.com, the Amazon seller. There's monthly events. I it's run by a guy called Anthony, who's now based in LA, and I do guest presentations there. I've got a couple coming up in May and August. I was doing them on a monthly basis, but with so much going on, I had to take a step back. So they've got a bit of a rotation policy at the event, but that's where you can get a lot of good knowledge as well. It's free to get in. We have sponsors, so it covers food and drink and things like that. But be warned, it's always seems to be at capacity. We've been quite lucky at the moment. We've moved venues four times, and so now there is a wait list. But that's best place to get some additional information on stuff. And I'm also off to the Canton Fair in Hong Kong. I'm doing the Global Sources. They're doing a summit over there, a three-day event, and I'm doing a PPC presentation there on the third day. And there'll be all like the big software companies, like Will Turland's going to be there. They does 10 million, and the Seller Labs, I think, are going to be there. You've got Zonblast. He's got Anthony from Zonblast. He's an absolute genius. I've learned a lot of stuff from him. Wow. Greg Mercer's going to be there.
Yeah, he's the Jungle Scout guy, isn't he? Is that right?
Yes, yeah. That's right, yeah. I'm just trying to think of...
Wow, so anyone's going to be there listening to you in Hong Kong. So that's we're lucky to catch you before you fly off. That's amazing. Anyone, by the way, anyone who wants to book you for speaking gigs, they just contact you through your website, Danny, or how does that work?
Yeah. If you go to the website, you can book me through there. Yeah. That's perfect. Yeah.
Great. Okay. We're very honoured to have you on the podcast, and especially between, you know, getting visas and heading off to Hong Kong and speaking to all these, you know, absolute global movers and shakers in the Amazon world. So, Danny, thank you so much. Any other things you think that you want to share, any last-minute words or quick tips?
I think the only thing is just try and keep it simple. Don't overthink things. And one of the most important things that we didn't cover in the show, which is prior to this, I build PPC into my product. And what I mean by that is I try and understand it from a PPC point of view as my form of marketing. So to give an example, if you're going to go after a really competitive area and you're going to sell at $12.99, chances are you're going to be fried quite a lot unless you're picking up the product for pennies, if you like. So just be aware that you don't have to be great at PPC. You can turn it on its head by actually selecting a less competitive product where it's got some pain points that other people don't touch. So, for instance, sell a product that's £40 that's oversized, because your PPC budget will be like peanuts a lot of the time, and you'd make a lot more money because no one wants to touch that area.
Okay.
Then you haven't got to go and do all the complicated stuff. Like, so for me, yes, I could probably outmaster a lot of people on PPC through experience, but I'll burn a lot of energy doing so. Why push the boulder up the hill, I probably should say.
Right.
So if you can, think about when you're doing your product, what your price points are, download the other spreadsheet that will give you an instant pricing straight away. It's all automated in the spreadsheet with directions of what to do, and get an idea of your numbers first. But try and think outside the box with selecting product, and then PPC will be very easy after that.
So in other words, you're picking product areas where hardly anyone can be bothered to jump through the hoops, and therefore there's not much competition because nobody's out there bidding on the keywords.
Yeah, if you're looking for stuff that's small in your hand, $12.99, that's what everyone else is looking for.
Yeah.
So go against the grain. Where you'll find innovation, where you'll find the big impacts on your business, is the areas where no one else is treading. Go where the puck is going, not where the puck is at.
Okay, deep stuff. Quite zen kind of quote. I like it. Danny, would you be willing to come back on and talk us more through some of the nuts and bolts of this? Because I got a feeling that an awful lot of people are going to be responding with a lot of detailed questions. I can see the Facebook posts appearing in my mind. So that would be fantastic if you could talk us through.
Why don't we do this if it works for you? Is that you can get everyone, we can do like a Q&A. And we can work off of that. So if the group's got a stack of questions, we can then go and work through all the questions for them and answer them that way. And then the whole audience gets to hear, you know, as well.
Yeah, that sounds absolutely perfect to me. Yeah, that sounds great. Let's do that. So in the meantime, Danny, I better let you get ready to get yourself off to Hong Kong and the Canton Fair. Very envious. That sounds incredibly exciting and interesting experience to have, apart from, you know, finding some amazing products, hopefully. Very welcome back anytime if you want to share what you learned at that place, if you've got particular learnings from that. It doesn't have to be related to pay-per-click or whatever, but the pay-per-click generally Amazon ads Q&A sounds like an excellent idea. So I will put the word out to the Facebook group.
Yeah.
And anyone who's listening on the podcast, then that's an open goal for you to come to the Facebook group and ask a bunch of questions, which I can ask Danny directly. So get yourself over there. And only remains then for me to say, Danny, many, many thanks for sharing your expertise. You know, I've got some amazing takeaways. I think I need to go away and just change a hell of a lot of what I've been doing. I'm sure that a lot of people listening will feel the same way. So thank you very much, my friend.
Thank you.
Have an amazing trip to Hong Kong and Canton, and look forward to hearing from you all about it later on.
Well, what a great guy Mr. Danny McMillan is. So many helpful nuggets, and also a nice clear overview of a simple way of starting, which is good for all of us, and some real gold on the simple things that we should and shouldn't be doing. So I've learned some real nuggets from this. I would personally say, for me, for example, that knowing that you should put negative keywords in an auto campaign has been extremely important. I went away straight away and changed all my Amazon ads about 2 days after I managed to implement that. And several days later, I found that my advertising cost of spend was down and sales were slightly up. So it's immediately actionable stuff. And never forget, guys, that when you're listening to a podcast, beginners, as it were, in business coaching or in absorbing stuff, kind of want a silver bullet that's going to change everything. And that's quite a rare thing. But actually, that is an example of almost a silver bullet. Because if you think about it, I spent $10,000 last sort of, business year for my company. And it's going to be a lot more this year. And if I can save 10% of that, that's $1,000 saved. Now, that simple idea of negative keywords might well save me that kind of money, even over the next few months. So when you're listening, try and listen not just for, is it exciting every second? But, you know, exciting every second is very good. But is there even one thing you can get out of a book, out of a podcast, out of an ebook, out of a blog post that is going to make you or save you $1,000? And if you're really intelligent about it, if you're, you know, fishing in the right pool, as it were, those nuggets are in there. And certainly there are so many golden nuggets in Danny's interview. So please go back and listen to them again if you possibly can. And really, if you're listening in the car or when you're running or something, then get back to your computer as soon as you can and read the show notes, because there's a lot of detail. Not only do we have detailed show notes as we normally do, but we've got two extra things. We've got one, Danny's downloadable spreadsheets, which should be very, very helpful. And the other thing is that we've got a special page which Danny's done of extra detailed notes as well, just because he really wanted to make sure you had fantastic quality information. So you have everything to play for and nothing to lose. So get yourself over to the blog, www.amazingfba.com/32. Don't forget that Danny offered in the podcast to do a return visit, to do a question and answer session. So we need to do a little poll in the Facebook group. So get yourself over there. If you want to get your question answered, I would calculate based on experience that he can probably answer between 5 and 6 and 7 really intensive questions and 3 or 4 superficial ones. So we've probably got a max of 10 questions we can cover. My experience of the Facebook group, because it's pretty quick and there's lots of people who leap on the opportunities that we present, that will go quickly. So I would get there quickly. If I were you, if you want to get your question answered, www.amazingfba.com/FBF, as in phase, B as in book. Okay, in a second, I'm going to get into something which isn't relevant for most people. So in that case, I will say goodbye to most people. And if it interests you, we'll see you stick around and I'll tell you a little bit about it. And that is simply that I've had quite a few inquiries related to coaching or mentoring from me personally, one-to-one. That is something that will be going ahead because we had quite a few people inquire. And I'm going to tell you all about it in a second if that interests you. If it doesn't interest you, I suggest that you stop the podcast in a second and go do something else. I don't want to take your time up with commercial pitches for things that aren't for you. This is not a salesy sort of podcast. It's free, and I'm aiming to bring you great value and great content and great interviewees as well. Talking of which, we've got some mindset things coming up, as well as the usual tactical stuff. We're going to be doing some book reviews, some really powerful books, including Seth Godin, Tribe, which is a real must read for all marketers. And the Eric Ries, The Lean Startup, I was going to sort of summarize some of the really key points for that because it's a very intensive book, but my goodness, it's powerful as well. To name but a couple. And also got some great interviews coming up. We got Peter Zapf, I confirmed today. He's scheduled in now to do an interview. I think it's next Wednesday we're going to be doing the actual interview. He's from Global Sources, one of the biggest companies in the world, one of the most experienced people when it comes to global sourcing and freight and other such things, outsourcing to China, you name it, they've done it. So fantastic person to have on board. If you're not interested in hearing about mentoring, I'll say goodbye and I'll speak to you in the next episode. Okay, you've stuck around, so I'm assuming you're interested in this, so I'll keep this brief and simple. Mentoring. I believe, to put it in the abstract first before I talk about what I can offer you, that everybody should get a mentor as soon as they can in this business. It's a great way to keep yourself going, to make sure you're not wasting time and money. And actually, I'd worry less about wasting money than I would wasting time. You can't get time back. Okay, you can't get time back. Motivation when it dips can be brought back up. That's really important. Money should be spent well. That's important. But it's your time, guys, right? I'm 42 years old. The gray hairs are coming. I really wish that I had spent the money and time I needed in the right way, in a focused way, years ago on this stuff. I would be so much further on with my business life, with my marketing knowledge, with everything in my life. So all I can say is get yourself a mentor, get yourself a community. The Facebook group's a great place to start, but get yourself a face-to-face real community as well. Okay. So what I have to offer is very simple. I'm going to limit it to 4 people at any one time maximum. And that's because I want to work very intensively with you and make a real difference to your business. And I want you to get a real return on investment for the money you invest in coaching or mentoring. So I want to be clear, it's a paid for service. You will need to invest that money. You don't have to spend it on me. You don't have to buy mentoring at all. It's entirely your point. So I'm not going to do a very big, heavy sales pitch, except to say, get yourself a mentor. If it's not me, fine, go find somebody else, but get yourself one. If you're in any way serious about the business, you will get further, quicker, better, and waste less time. As somebody said once, if you think training is expensive, you should try ignorance. And I really think that's true. Really, really think that's true. So what I'm going to offer is I'm going to work with 4 people max, and it will be over the next 6 to 12 months that I'll take new people on. I'm not going to just dump somebody if I'm working with them and it's going well for them and it's a mutually beneficial arrangement. But you know, I'm not going to take on a bunch of new people in 12 to 18 months time. So it's a March 2016. So if you're listening to this episode sometime in the distant future, like it's March 2017, it probably is the case that I won't be taking on any more one-to-one mentoring, and it's just not scalable. So that's why that proviso is in place, okay? So who's it for and who's it not for? Who it's not for is 2 people. One is if you're a sort of person that goes round in circles, goes to seminars, then goes home and doesn't take action. And I know that I used to be one of those people, so I'm not sitting in judgment on you if that's you, but just be honest with yourself. And if you've been falling into that trap, the first thing to do is to get out of that trap first. So get yourself on the podcast, listen to all the episodes, get into the Facebook group and get into action first, okay? Before you start paying for expensive mentoring and training, because good people in the business community aren't going to be cheap, and that's fine. I'm not particularly cheap, but I'm going to be good value because I'm going to be doing very, very substantial price reductions for the first 4 people to come on board. And over the next 3 months, quite low prices as well, while I sort of basically beta testing this, okay? So it's not going to be super cheap. I'm not going to get into prices here because the prices will change over time and they were only going to go up. So the cheapest time to get involved is now, put it that way, right? If you think about the logic of that. The other person it's not for, I should mention, this is for UK-based people only because I really do want to have one-to-one meetings with people in person if we possibly can. If you can't manage that because you can't get yourself down to London, then okay, we can do it on the phone or Skype if you need to, okay? But that is basically by far the most powerful option. If you're interested, simply get in touch, www.amazingfba.com/mentoring. Or if you're in the Facebook group, just send me a PM and I can, you know, just let you know that I've got the message and that I'll send you the details in the next few days. That's it from me. I'm off to go and play in London and then I'm going to go and sort my finances out. So all the best, guys. Don't forget to learn, do, review as ever, and speak to you in the next episode.